Thanks. My name's Gary and I'm an addict.
Hi, Gary.
Yeah, I was asked to do this share, I don't know, about a month ago, and I really haven't given it much thought. I was at a meeting yesterday and I saw someone out on me and I thought, you know, I'd ask them if they're going so I could get a lift there, you know, because I know they come here. And they went, oh, great, you know, you're going to do a share of that meeting. And I went, yeah, and he went, they tape it and all that. And I went, what? You know. And all of a sudden I'm thinking like convention, you know, I've got to give a star performance, this, that, the other. And, you know, I remember the last time I actually put my voice to a microphone and I was an only from prison. I'd gone to a pub with my sister and my aunt and I sang the Green Green Grass of Home, you know, out of my nut. And other than that, you know, I've never spoken to a microphone. So, you know, sitting here, you know, it's like I was really self-obsessed getting here, you know, and I'm full of fear. I've got my partner with me, you know, and I sort of go into that place of fear. And what happens is I start taking it out on her, you know, because I'm finding it difficult to cope with what I'm feeling, really. That's the truth, you know. And, you know, I try not to do that today. You know, I try to be more responsible, or, you know, take responsibility for how I feel. Because in the past, you know, I didn't have that capability. You know, I was sort of recommended to see a psychiatrist at the age of 10, you know, because stuff had gone on, you know, before I picked up. And, you know, I was snatched off of the street as a three-year-old and, you know, slung into a car and driven away, and it was really, you know, terrifying. And, you know, what happened was this person took me to a police station. I don't know if that was their first intentions, but that's what happened. And, you know, it was a terrifying experience, you know, for a three-year-old. And then I managed to drive my dad's heavy goods vehicle as a five-year-old and, you know, crashed into a lot of vehicles, and that was a really frightening thing, you know. And then there was incidents of a sexual nature as a seven and nine-year-old. And on a second occasion, I took my sister along, you know, and she told my parents, and, you know, it all come on top. And I said, no, nothing happened. And, you know, I sort of felt guilty, I suppose, even though I really didn't understand it. What I felt, again, was fucking frightened, you know, that I'd cause some sort of trouble. And, you know, I was recommended to see a psychiatrist due to my behaviour towards other children, which was quite violent, you know, and I actually enjoyed inflicting pain on other children. It made me feel better about myself, you know. I sort of felt quite powerful in that, you know, within that. And by the time I was 11, I was expelled from school for bullying. I'd been arrested for an offensive weapon, and I was, you know, drinking. And that sort of pattern of behaviour was one I just repeated for the next 29 years. And, you know, I suppose I felt quite fearless, you know, and, you know, was in a little gang committing crime, whatever, you know, and I got put away at 13, saw a psychiatrist, 14, saw a psychiatrist, you know, I got put away at 17, 18. And from the age of 20 to 35, I'd done 11 years in prison, you know. But it was when I was about 15, I started suffering severe anxiety, you know, and when I was with my friends, because my father was a rag and bone man, you know, and my mother was Irish, and we didn't have a pot to piss in, you know. I felt quite ashamed of my upbringing, really, you know. Our flat weren't that well decorated and stuff, and, you know, there was always a lack of money, you know. Sometimes we didn't have a dinner to eat, and I really felt that as a child, you know. And that fear I was feeling, you know, I started feeling that around my friends and the situations we was getting involved in, because they was quite violent. And I didn't want to show that I was frightened. So, you know, if it didn't have a substance, it was about putting on a front and not showing how I truly felt, you know. But when I had a substance, it was going out and committing extreme fucking acts, you know, that were right over the top to prove that I wasn't frightened to myself. You know, and it was really all fucked up. You know, I didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. You know, I just sort of felt this uncomfortability. And that never really left me. And I suppose why I felt it so much, you know, by the time I got into my early 20s, I started to feel really exposed outwardly, how I felt inwardly, you know. And there was a lot of shame, guilt, fear, inadequacy, you know, insecurity, you know. And I didn't really understand that at that time. You know, what I really understood, I really did feel, was shame and fear. You know, those were the only two feelings I really felt I understood. And I didn't feel like I matched up to other people that I knew, you know, because I was always ending up in fucking institutions and sort of feeling disappointed, you know, because I wasn't doing anything with my life. And other sort of people seemed to get a girlfriend, have money, you know, get a driving license and stuff like that. So that sort of just carried on, really, you know. And there's lots of things I could say, you know, within all of that, you know, which I think I don't really need to go, you know, I can't really go into within 15 minutes. But as I said, you know, I'd done 7.5 years in my last sentence, and I'd been put on psychotic medication from day dot, really, you know, which I thought I'd go and manipulate the doctor, you know, and get some medication to help me through my sentence. And I went up to the hatch, you know, and they gave me this green liquid, and it was amitriptyline, it was 100 mil, and I took it at sort of like 8 o'clock or 7:30, whatever it is, you know, and by about 10 o'clock I'm asleep, you know, I wake up at 10:30 the next day, I'm crooked to 5:30, and I get my next jol up, and I think, well, you know, this is the way to go. And that sort of lasted for 7.5 years I was in away, you know, and I was taking loads of anything I could get, really. And I got released from prison, you know, my father had died within all of that. Come out, you know, and I've been released with chlorohydrate, you know, I don't know if anyone knows what it is, but it's an hypnotic sedative, you know, and Valium, you know, and I've gone straight into pubs, you know, drinking, taking heroin, ended up at a crack house for the first time, smoking quarter ounce of crack. My friend had left, I've stayed there, and they're talking about people coming, old Bill coming through the windows with guns, and I'm thinking they think I'm a plant, and all of a sudden I've got really paranoid. And the gears run out, but the music's playing. I've tried a reggae dance, you know, and I'm really fucking prang, you know. And I've tried not to make myself be noticed, you know, and I've done the opposite. But I've left with this old boy and a girl, you know, and he's looking around corners, and I thought it's a setup, you know. So I've let out a big fucking scream. I've run. He's just looked at me, you know, astonished, I suppose. And I've banged on his pub doors, and someone's phoned a cab, and I've got in it. And I've gone, just drive, you know, because I think if I go to my sister's, I might be being followed. And as he drove away, he got on the radio, you know, to give the destination. I started strangling him. You know, I thought he was phoning a crack house to say he'd got me, you know. So he fucking jumped out of the cab. You know, I've jumped in the front and I'm trying to drive it, you know, and the old Bill's pulled up. And I felt that fucking relief again, you know, that I used to feel when I used to get arrested in the past, you know, because my life was really just self-destructive. There was never no gain to what I'd done, you know. And it was about just not being able to cope, really, you know, and sort of screaming out for help, you know, in that self-destructive way, I suppose, you know. And it's like, people would always go to me, you know, you're mad, you are. I'd go, no, I'm not, you know, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, you know. And I'd gotten rearrested within 3 days of doing 7.5 years. You know, I got bail within 2 weeks, and I got arrested again a week later down to being out of me nut and having an incident with police leaving a pub. You know, and I got bail from court, and I think, and for the first time, I thought I need help, you know. And I went to a psychiatric hospital. My mum and my sister come with me, because the one thing my family done was always supported me and tried to help me as best they could, because they really loved me, you know. And got to this hospital when it was this geezer, and he had a great big long coat and a great big beard, and he was really tall and, you know, big, and we were all walking around, and I thought, I ain't staying here, they're all fucking mad, you know. And it frightened me, you know, and I left there, but I went back there, you know, because I couldn't face going back to prison, and that seemed to be another option for me, you know. And I wanted that sort of medication I'd been taking for 7.5 years to cope anyway, because I felt like, you know, I was really going to fall apart without it. And that was the reasons why, you know, I went to this hospital, was I wanted the drugs, you know. And that lasted for 4 years, you know, and it was only when my mother died and my sister went, you can't come here anymore, you know, and I didn't, you know, I went back on the crack for the next 3 years. And, you know, I asked for help, and it was through a day program. And the thing about that day program is a crack cocaine day program. The thing about it was, I did manage to get 3 days, 7 days, 9 days, and 13 days clean in between relapses. And it was in between those relapses, you know, when I was going back, my sister would let me in, you know, I'd sit down, have a meal. And that really meant so much, because I was too ashamed to go there, out of me nut. You know, and the fact is, she didn't really want me there anyway because of her kids. And on the last week, I made an excuse up to make, so I was going to build up a support network. I left there, went to a pub, had 3 pints, got Dutch courage, went to a crack house, saw a girl, asked if she had any works. She didn't want to give me any, I've paid for it, I said, you're giving me it, and I went over. But I bought a pair of trousers that week that cost me 50 quid. And I always think it's important for me to share this, because After about an hour and a half, she helped me down the stairs. We got a cab, went back to the crack house, got more gear, went to my flat, you know, carried on. She left at 6 o'clock in the morning. I went to see if there was any money left in my trousers and noticed I had a big stain on them. And I felt gutted, you know, because I just brought them, right? And I spent 50 quid. And I liked them, you know. And I went back to the day programme, was on, and told someone what had happened to my trousers. They just looked at me and went, "You're a cunt." And I went, "What?" I mean, you know, you were a cunt. You thought more about a poxy pair of fucking trousers than what you did at nearly losing your life. And it was the first time I ever gave it a thought, you know. And, yeah. And when I left that programme, I relapsed for 5 weeks, and I realised, you know, I needed some sort of programme in my life, you know, if I was to get any days clean. And I'd been to a couple of NA meetings while I was on there because they suggested it. Not, you know, and I really didn't want to go. But, you know, I did, and, you know, I'm so glad today that, you know, that's what I've done. Because I had nowhere else to go, you know. But when I came here, you know, and I managed to get to a meeting clean, you know, someone said to me, "Welcome," you know, and it really meant something to me. Because I went in there absolutely terrified, you know, utterly alone and confused. And I really didn't have a clue what to do, you know. But that person made me feel welcome, meant a lot. And for the first time in my life, you know, I identified with other people, you know, because all of a sudden they shared how I felt, because it wasn't lifestyles that I identified with, it was how people felt, you know. And for the first time, I didn't feel alone. I saw a room full of people that weren't using, who was telling me that they had done for years and years and years, you know, and were now telling me they were clean, you know, and it looked attractive. They looked attractive, you know, and I got hope from that. And people said to me, "Keep coming back," and that's what I'd done. You know, and I'd got a commitment, I'd got a sponsor, you know, sponsors in this room today. And we'd done step one, you know. And I remember I read it to my cousin first, because he was staying down, he's in the fellowship, you know, he's 14 years clean. And after I read it to him, he went, "How did you feel?" When I went, "Hey." And he looked at me and I went, "Fuck, you know, I've got to say something." I went, "Guilty," you know, because that's my first reaction to any feeling I have. And he went, "Well, that's all right, that's a feeling." I went, "Thank fuck for that, you know." And, you know, and we, you know, and I, you know, read it to my sponsor and that, and then I'd done a step two, and, you know, and then I'd done a step three. And when I'd done them steps, you know, it was sort of like, I knew there was something within these rooms and the power of sharing, because I experienced that in my first couple of weeks, you know. And I knew that I needed to keep coming to meetings, you know, and I was doing 2-3 meetings a day, and I'd done that for 15 months, and I sort of totted it up, and it was over 1,000 meetings I'd done, and I'm so glad that I did, you know, because I realised how vulnerable I really was, you know. And my most vulnerable time was my first 30 days, you know, but when I got that 30-day key ring, you know, I really wanted the next one, because it was the first thing I'd ever achieved that was positive in my life, you know. And, you know, I've found and been given so much in NA, because I do realise, you know, everything has been given, you know, and I've been carried, you know, I've been carried with all those feelings and emotions I've shared in meetings that always troubled me in the past. I've written down in step one, you know, and what writing down all those feelings and emotions and the situations and what I'd done in step one said to me was, you know, you can't keep fucking justifying, rationalising, making excuses and blaming other people for what you do. You know, because all this you created through taking substances, you know. Because I really understood it. It was what I'd done while taking drugs I found difficult to live with and created more of the feelings I was trying to get away from anyway, you know. And what I found with NA was unconditional, you know. NA to me is unconditional. It only wants what's best for me, you know. It wants to love me and it wants to care for me, you know, and it wants to live my life in the right way, you know, and to be happy, you know, and to be what I always wanted to be, which was just to feel like normal, like other fucking people, really, and to be able to accept myself for who I am and what I am and what I do in life, you know. The fact is, I ain't doing what I've done when I used, you know. I'm doing positive things today. I've done voluntary work for 3 years in the drugs field. I've gone to college 3 times. I'm in a beautiful relationship with a beautiful woman for 3 years. You know, and this was someone who couldn't even have a relationship with herself, you know, let alone anyone else. And that's what I'm learning to do today. And I'll finish on this, you know. What I said when I was on the train is what I meant. I try to treat people differently today and not just think of how I feel, but take into account how I can make them feel, you know, through my actions, You know, and it ain't about putting my shit on other people, it's about taking responsibility. You know, and coming up 5 years clean in April, and it's taken me 5 years to feel grateful. You know, because I've come to meetings and gone, I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I've never really felt it, you know, and I was at a meeting recently and I realised, you know, from someone who was recommended to see a psychiatrist at the age of 10, who'd lived their lives in institutions and was totally unmanageable, my life's not like that today, and it's all thanks to NA. And I got in touch with that gratitude and what NA has really given me, and I got quite choked up, and all of a sudden I realised I was having a feeling. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I do today. Thank you.
Thanks.